Hi, I'm Carl Gearhart from the Giant Country Horns. This podcast is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. Check out osirispod.com, stay in the loop, and sign up for the newsletter to learn about the newest podcasts and events. Relics Magazine is a media partner of Osiris. For music news, go to relics.com.
Holler. Yeah. I've been working all summer just to try to make a dollar, yeah. Every time I call my baby, try to make a date.
Mama said no dice, son, you got the word late.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do.
There ain't no cure for the summertime blue.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Helping Friendly Podcast. This is a quick hit for August 7th, 2018 at the BB&T Center in Camden, New Jersey. You've got Matt here, and on the line with me today is Seth. Hey, Seth, how's it going, man?
Good, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. And so we're going to talk to Seth today about his experience last night in Camden. First, just a couple of other things to cover. As we've mentioned on the last couple of episodes, if you're still trying to get into Curveball, there are opportunities available through the Work Exchange Team, or WET. Those folks offer you the opportunity to work a few shifts at the festival and in turn get to purchase a ticket at what I believe is a discounted cost. So it's a nice way to get in if you're not able to find a wristband at the moment. You can connect with those guys at workexchangeteam.com/curveball. And you also might be able to find opportunities if you go to the actual Curveball website to work with Clean Vibes. If that's more your thing, I think they have a similar type of opportunity and are still looking for people there. In terms of things that are coming up for us, RJ and I will be at Merriweather this weekend, and then Jonathan will join us, as well as a huge part of the Osiris podcast family, up at Curveball next weekend. We'll have the Osiris RV with a flag flying high, and throughout the weekend there will be some things that we'll let you know about, contests and giveaways and things like that. Opportunities to come chat with us, chat with other folks who are podcast listeners like yourself, and of course all Phish fans. And so if you see us at Merriweather or can head up to Curveball, stop by and see us and grab a sticker, say hi, and we'd love to chat with you.
You know I'll be there, Matt.
Yeah, Seth is going to be there. So let's talk about last night, Seth. You got to go. Not only did you see Phish last night in Camden, you're doing kind of a Superman move here, because after the show, you went back up to New York City where you live. I believe you are talking to us from Long Island right now where you work.
That's right, and I am. And now I'm heading back, catching a train right back to Penn Station, catch my ride in Jersey, go back to Camden, do it all over again, because, you know, one Camden show is never enough. And, yeah, like you, we're both Philly natives, and we've been seeing the band really, you know, do their thing with Camden and the man for a number of years, and it was kind of interesting for them to kind of go back to the larger shed this year. So there were definitely plenty of tickets out there. You know, if you're still thinking about coming tonight, you probably have a good shot of getting in. And I wouldn't sleep on it if you can. But the weather's been really, really warm here. It's August. You know, it's the Northeast. It's the band's first show in the Northeast of the tour. And it was kind of sweltering last night. I was in the pit, which was a great vantage point. But I would say the heat index had to be hovering around 100. I tried to stay very hydrated throughout the set. And, you know, I thought the band, for the most part, did really, really well. you know, the first set was definitely heavy on song selection and a lot of newer songs too. They started with Crowd Control, which I think was a debut for this tour, and moved on, you know, No Man's and Blazon, both, you know, debuted 2015 and two of my favorites of the newer era. And, you know, there were definitely some interesting song selections in the first set. Mike brought back his new one, Infinite, so it was good to hear that again for the first time. Highlight of the set for me, I think, there was a really nice little jam in 46 Days, and then David Bowie to cap the set, I thought was really, really strong. And that seems to be a song that Phish loves to play in the Philadelphia area. I've seen it there a number of times. And even in the second set, I felt like the band definitely came back to a lot of the songs that the Philly crowd was going to get very strong responses into. So that was great to see.
Yeah, it seems like there's some of those songs that they just love in Philadelphia, like Bowie, Wilson, of course, right? Wilson, King of Prussia, Julius, some of those songs that I feel like have gotten a lot of play there. As I look back on the first set last night, and I was, of course, just listening from the couch, I really love the little jam out of Infinite. That was pretty awesome. And then the Bowie, which, Bowies have had a tendency to not really get out there in recent years, and I thought this one kind of went in a different direction for at least the first part of it. I feel like their style of jamming this year would lend itself really well to a really spacey out there David Bowie, and this was just kind of maybe the first step in that direction. So maybe by the end of the tour we'll hear a little bit more of that. What did you think about that Bowie, Seth?
Yeah, no, I thought it was really, really strong. It got a little bit darker too. I think Karuda really kind of picked up the energy and the rig is really something to behold, especially from the pit where it's literally above you and you feel kind of immersed in it as it kind of moves up and down and all around. And that happened a bunch in the second set as well, but that was something I really enjoyed, and it was a great way to end that set. And again, a lot of songs. I don't think anything went super deep, maybe more than, you know, the 10-12 minute mark, but It was a well-played set, and, you know, they definitely went all over the catalog.
Yeah, so then the long exploration would come at the start of the second set with The Disease, which I thought was fantastic. It approached the 25-minute mark, multiple different sections of improv, some space that got really, really dark, some more upbeat sections. So tell us a bit about that, Down with Disease to start out the set, and then how the rest of the second set played out for you.
Yeah, and during set break, I actually went looking for, you know, a couple friends of mine out on the lawn, and it was raining pretty good out there. And I have to tell you, after really being in the steam bath down the pit, it was pretty refreshing. Gave me a little bit of extra energy so that I had opportunity to, you know, to really enjoy that second set. But yeah, The Disease comes out, not a huge shocker. They play Disease a lot in Philadelphia as well. It's a song the crowd is always big on, but they quickly, you know, turned it into a couple new gears there. There were a couple different modulations. I know that they went into a couple key changes, but there were some really glorious moments there. I definitely think it was one of the best Diseases I've personally heard in 3.0. Best one I can think of in the last couple of years, at least for my ears. I'm sure there were some really good ones. The one at Baker's Dozen last year was great too. But very, very strong. And you know, it's always going to be one of their heavy hitting second set opening jam vehicles, but it was good to see them, you know, let the jam kind of deconstruct and then reconstruct it in a totally new direction. So that they did really well there. And then I felt similar things happened a little bit later on in that set. But, you know, they ended up settling into Number Line. And, you know, I think the theme for the overall show for me is this may not have been the song list I would have personally picked, but they did a really good job in terms of placement and making all these songs count. So the Number Line was standard, but it actually fit really well after that monster of a Disease.
Yeah, and hopefully Number Line didn't suck too much energy out of the crowd when that started out, as that tends to happen. It seemed like they didn't lose a whole lot of momentum because there were some great things that came later in the second set after the Number Line, right?
It kept it going, and you know, I think the band had smiles on their faces all night. Even Lawn Boy in the first set, which is a great moment where you know, I remember Paige was really hamming it up, but Trey was grinning big. I know he was really stoked to be back with his people in the Northeast and New Jersey. So I think he was just really kind of eating it up and enjoying, you know, playing what he wanted to play. And we were kind of on and along for the ride.
Yep. And then I Always Wanted It This Way, which is a great second set tune, I think. It's got kind of spacey at the end before heading into Miss You. And then we have that amazing, almost unexpected, strong fourth quarter with Light straight into Mike's song, Hydrogen, Wikipog Groove. So what can you tell us about that, Seth?
Yeah. And again, Light, another one of those songs where you may not necessarily be super excited to hear when it starts up, but you know it's going to lead to some interesting exploration. And this was just a great exercise in really full band improv. I thought there was a lot of interesting happenings. There was a lot of rhythms that were going on with Fishman and Mike really moving around the beat and the flow of the song. And, you know, the jam took off. I know Paige got on his synthesizers a bit. Trey got on a lot of his new pedals. They mixed it up pretty nicely. And yeah, Matt, that drop into Mike's song, I think really just gave us the burst we needed to kind of rage through and sweat through that fourth quarter down there, because it was a real high energy. But the Mike song itself seems to be played a little abnormally. I don't know if you sensed that as well.
Yeah, it seemed like he was doing something there. I heard he was throwing in like an extra, you know, flatted note or something like that at one point in the riff. It sounded a lot to me like something that he used to do a lot in the early 90s, where he would kind of, you know, mess something up or maybe even intentionally play a lick slightly wrong, just to be playful. And a lot of times Mike would jump in and sort of do the same thing. I definitely did catch that.
Yeah. And then honestly, the jam in Mike's song was one of my highlights as well. Again, Kuroda really was a superstar during this jam. And even, you know, up in the pit, like where you don't necessarily see the entire light show, the fact that now like the lights themselves are in motion and moving around was really cool to witness. And you know, the band as well just had kind of the shit eating grins on their faces during this jam. They knew that we wanted to hear Mike's song, and they did it, and they were all about it.
Yeah, I thought this was a great example of where, you know, there may not have been an official second jam, you know, after the coda there, but they got to a certain place in the main part of the jam where it got outside of the regular F sharp minor groove and got to a really kind of unique, happy place. I'm trying to remember. I think they teased something at that point. And then from that point, you know, they could have just rushed through because it was getting late in the set. But it seemed like, you know, they took the time to at least put a little bit something extra on that mics.
Yeah, it was already pretty late by the time they started it. And I kind of sensed that we were going to get a straight Mike's Hydrogen Wikipog, and that would be the end of the set. And that was totally fine. One thing I'll say about Wikipog is, you know, I think, again, it's one of the hottest days in the year. I thought the band maybe got a little bit sloppy in the intro, but they brought together a really nice peak at the end. You know, it's always a great song to hear. It wasn't necessarily like a long exploration type of, you know, maybe a holiday run 90s Wikipog groove or anything like that, but it was certainly, you know, a really fun way to end that set. As far as the encore is concerned, listen, you know, again, this is the type of show where it maybe not have been every single song I wanted to hear necessarily, but it's what the band was feeling that night. And you know, if Trey decides, hey, he wants to thank everybody and be appreciative that he's, you know, back home in the Northeast and cap it with Show of Life, I think they earned it, especially given the conditions they were dealing with that night. So, you know, it was a real fun night, but I got to say, I'm happy that I'm mustering the energy to hop on the Jersey Turnpike and come back down tonight, because I think we're in store for a lot of surprises on night two of Camden.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then as far as, you know, other things that I caught in that set, what I was trying to think of just a second ago and struggling to for the words there was during the Mike song, they wound up teasing You Sexy Thing, right?
Oh, yes. No, I forgot about that. And that was definitely a highlight.
Yeah, you could really hear that moment on the, even coming through on the Wook stream through somebody's phone, the fired up Tuesday night Philly crowd loving it when they dropped back into that. And then the other thing that I caught during that set that I really liked was during the light, they got to a place where the groove sounded a lot like You Never Know, that song that they just played once during the Wingsuit set and on Halloween a few years ago. And that had come out itself from a light jam in Burgettstown the summer before. So kind of cool to hear that groove come full circle and make a return again in the light last night in Camden.
Yeah. And honestly, with the You Sexy thing, I wonder if this is going to be maybe a recurring tease that kind of makes its way through the last week of the tour. It definitely seems like something they had a lot of fun with in Atlanta. And it was great that they threw the Northeast a little sexiness as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I mean, I know it's an unpopular opinion, but as far as the encore, you know, I kind of like the song Show of Life, and I don't mind it to close a show, particularly when it's night one of a two-night run. Real hot night, like you told us, and, you know, you're about to, you kind of let the audience go on a gentle note before getting everybody back together with night two to pick up the party again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're going to be recharged and ready to go, and hopefully it won't be quite as hot. I'm not exactly sure where I'm going to be sitting tonight, but I'll be in there. And you know, I'm looking forward. I'm thinking maybe to go a little bit more in the old school direction tonight, but we'll definitely find out.
Awesome. So, Seth, if we're going to send everybody out here on a little clip from last night, which jam do you think we should feature?
You know, I was going to say Disease, and as big a fan as I am of it, I know that you guys featured the Disease jam from Austin. So I'm going to say the last probably 5-6 minutes of Light, kind of into that whole like mind fuck of a Mike song segue. That would be my pick. I think your audience is going to like hearing that. And you know, again, really good 2018 Phish band improv with all these members kind of, you know, exploring their rigs and, you know, doing a great job of listening. And I think this will carry over. And I think Curveball in particular should be really, really special if they keep this up.
Sweet, man. Well, I'm going to let you go because I know you have to planes, trains, and automobile it down to Camden for night two. But thanks for taking some time out of your day to tell us about what happened for you last night at the Camden show. And look forward to seeing you next weekend at Curveball, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Matt. And thanks and helping Friendly Podcast, Osiris. And I'll see you guys next week.
Cool. So you can find Seth on Twitter at Saxon Strikeouts. And we're going to let you go here on a little clip of the light into Mike's song from last night. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
Thank you.